Not to contradict Chris, but you can be seated for just a second. I'll ask you to stand again for the reading of God's Word. You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I just wanted to say thank you for having me here. My wife and I moved to Natchez 2 years ago. And we had our firstborn son, Edward, and I'm sorry they can't be here. I know that's the reason that y'all wanted us to come, was so you could see our 1.5-year-old, who is wide open, as they say. They are actually at a wedding in South Carolina this weekend, so as I was coming to Atlanta from Richmond, they were coming to Atlanta from Jackson, and providentially we were able to eat lunch together in Atlanta, which we were very thankful for. It's a joy to be here. I was here last summer and preached the Sunday after General Assembly. So Brian is at Thompson Memorial in Centerville, and Eric Green, the pastor at Thompson Memorial, is in Natchez, and I'm here. So we're just playing chess. But it really is a joy. General Assembly is a really full week. Yes, there's lots of eating. Yes, there's lots of fellowship, but there's a lot of business. And so it really is a joy to be able to be here and to preach the Word of God to you. And I have an apology up front because I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Many of you will have Psalm 23 memorized in the King James. So it's just not going to fit just right with the way that you memorized it. So work with me if you will. But I'm going to read Psalm 23 if you would. If you're able, please stand with me for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Psalm 23, beginning verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. Would you join me as we go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing on the preaching of God's holy word? Let's pray. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are thankful that all of the Bible is true, and more than that, it is the truth. Sanctify us in the truth this morning. Lord, we pray for the preaching of your word. As your Spirit already is here with us in worship this morning, we would ask that your Spirit would, by the preaching of your word, come and make your word effectual unto salvation. Lord, I don't know this congregation as well as you do. I've met some. I know some from family connections, but Lord, I don't know their hearts the way that our Father in heaven does. So would you, by your word and Spirit, take Psalm 23 and hide it deep in our hearts. Open our eyes, open our ears, soften our hearts, that we would receive the good seed of your word, that we would behold your glory. And Lord, I pray for those that are suffering today, that are perhaps living in sin, that they would see and hear the good news of the gospel and rejoice. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 23, it's a favorite of all of ours. I have the joy of getting to go to a nursing home in Natchez several times a year. It's called the Magnolia Village. We have a member there, Miss Eloise Reed. Unfortunately, she has a severe dementia or Alzheimer's, so she doesn't remember much. She's never known me as her pastor when she was in her right mind. Most of the time when I go, she's waiting on the bus to go back to Hattiesburg, at least in her mind. But one of the sweet joys that I have as her pastor is I get to go to the Magnolia Village, and typically she'll be in the afternoon out in this open area with some tables. She'll be sitting there, perhaps playing bingo, with several of her friends that she's made, and most of them have memory loss issues. And after some time together, I will read some scripture and pray with whoever's there, specifically with Miss Eloise, but with whoever's around. And almost every time I pick Psalm 23, because they know it. It's near and dear to their hearts. They may not know what planet they're on, but they know Psalm 23. And I will start reciting it, and they just jump right in. And then, depending on my audience, I might go to John 3:16, and then the Lord's Prayer, passages that are hidden deep in their heart, perhaps from their childhood. But it brings them joy, even in the midst of great confusion. What is it about Psalm 23 that we love? We put it all over our children's nurseries. We put it on picture frames, coffee cups. We put it on blankets. It is perhaps the most well-known chapter in all of Holy Scripture. And there's something about it that we can't even put into words. We just know it and love it. I believe every single funeral I've ever officiated in, before I could even put it in the bulletin, someone requested, "You are going to read Psalm 23, aren't you?" Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher from the 1800s, described Psalm 23 as the pearl of the Psalms. It's a priceless gem for the Christian, isn't it? But there's something about this passage that's comforting, encouraging. It's strong, and at the very same time, it is sweet as we are reminded of the Good Shepherd who cares for his sheep. And as we walk through this passage, we're going to see that that Good Shepherd is indeed Jesus. As we walk through this passage this morning, we're going to see that we can have confidence in trouble because the Good Shepherd cares for his sheep. We can have confidence in trouble because the Good Shepherd cares for his sheep. And there's three specific ways for how he cares for us as we look at this passage. Our first point is taken from verses 1 through 3. Number one, he cares for his sheep as he provides for our needs. He cares for sheep as he provides for our needs. Look with me back to verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's good for us to just slow down because sometimes when we have things memorized, we just kind of rush through things. So let's just slow down for just a second. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The psalmist, King David, rightly begins with the Lord, the covenant name of God. You may have noticed, if you have the English Standard Version, it's all caps, L-O-R-D. That means it's the covenant name Yahweh or Jehovah. And we can quickly see that the people of God lack nothing. We lack nothing spiritually, we lack nothing materially because of who our God is. He is our satisfaction, our covenant-making and keeping God. Literally in the Hebrew, that second line in verse 1, I shall not be lacking. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be lacking. Now, as Christians, we know that this is not to say that the Lord as our shepherd means that he is our vending machine in the sky, or that he's our genie in the bottle, and he just answers any whim that we want. We know, as we read Psalm 23, we know Christians suffer. We know that there's difficulty in this life. But rather, when we see this statement, I shall not want, or I shall not be lacking, what's that phrase hitched to? The first line in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It's imperative that we understand that the focus of Psalm 23 is not on you or me. It's on our God. The Lord is the one who shepherds me. And he's the good shepherd. And therefore, I'm never going to be lacking because he's going to take care of me. James Montgomery Boyce, that name may ring a bell. He was the great preacher at the end of the 20th century at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. He rightly points out that the end of verse 1 is an amazing statement to make of sheep. I shall not want. Sheep are very needy, aren't they? They're very dependent animals, the neediest, most dependent animals who need the most basic care and direction. But when we ourselves, desperately needy sheep, are placing ourselves under the good care of the good shepherd, we lack nothing. That's an amazing verse. And then verse 2, we see a promise that is specific to God's covenant people. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Only God's sheep will know this kind of rest and peace that brings satisfaction and confidence and contentment. Only God's children can know real, holistic, and complete peace. There's a book you may have read. The author is Philip Keller on Psalm 23. It's a small little book. And he was a pastor, but what's important about his book is before he was a pastor, he was a shepherd for 8 years. And so he wrote this book on Psalm 23 from the perspective of a shepherd. And he explains that because sheep are such skittish animals, it takes a lot for them to be willing to actually lie down. In fact, he said there are 4 specific criteria for these sheep to be able to lie down. Number 1, sheep must be free from all fear. Number 2, they must be free from friction, meaning free from friction with the other sheep in the fold. Number 3, they must be, this is kind of funny, but they must be free from the flies. Free from those obnoxious insects that pester them and prevent them from relaxing or being comfortable. Some of you may say, I need to be free from the flies or I can't relax. And number 4, they must be free from hunger. Philip Keller points out that freedom from these challenges only comes from an active, persistent, intentional, holistic, protective, provisional care of a shepherd. It's an engaged shepherd that is taking care of all of those concerns of the sheep. And we see the shepherd's provision for the sheep again in verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That phrase in verse 3, he restores my soul. One way we can understand it is he restores me to salvation. He saves me. The Lord saves. The greatest provision of the Good Shepherd is salvation in Jesus Christ. Again, Philip Keller helps us with this verse by describing what happens to those sheep that are either, and I'm not trying to be offensive to these sheep, but they're kind of well-endowed, very big, heavy, fat sheep. Extremely long wool. Sometimes they can become what's called cast down. That is, they lay down and they are so overweight, they lay down into a hole and they fall over onto their back. Well, you've seen sheep. They have very short little legs. They're not very flexible. They stretch out and they're stuck. But it sounds kind of funny. It would probably look kind of funny, but it's actually very dangerous for sheep. It can kill them if they are on their back for too long. It cuts off the blood circulation, and they will actually die as gas builds up in their stomach. Without Jesus, our good shepherd, we are cast down. And we will die in a helpless estate without the good shepherd saving us from our sin. And there's one more thing that we need to see in verse 3, that the shepherd not only saves the sheep, but he also brings them back. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep are notorious for having zero lack of direction. They can wander off very easily. But it's the good shepherd that runs after them, that brings them back to the fold. The Lord provides for our needs. That's our first point. And I have just 2 points of application for this first point. The first point is this, that we are the sheep. I hope you've made that connection in the passage. But as sheep, we can be prone to anxiety, fear, and we need the Good Shepherd to give us peace. That we would be free from all fear, free from relational friction. Sheep aren't the only ones that deal with that. Free from the flies. And I'm not talking about the insects. I'm talking about the things that pester us, the things that bother us, the things that keep us up at night. Thinking about your family budget. Relational issues. Family members that are sick. Family members that aren't yet saved. Whatever it is that keeps you up at night and enables you to be filled with some fear and anxiety. The psalmist says in Psalm 4, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." One of my favorite verses in all the Psalms. Well, we are all cast down sheep without the salvation of the Good Shepherd. You can trust him. You can lean on Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in the midst of all of our fears. And secondly, as sheep, we can stray. There are times when we need to be brought back. Brought back from sin. Now, maybe it's just for a moment. Maybe it's just for a season. But there are moments in our lives when we have decided for that second, I desire this sin more than I desire the glory of Christ. And when we stray in this way, when we leave the paths of righteousness for the path of sin, the Good Shepherd leaves the 99 and runs after us to bring us back. Time and time and time again. Heed the calling of the Good Shepherd as he seeks to bring you back to Christ's fold. This leads us to our second of 3 points. This is verse 4. He cares for his sheep as he protects us from evil. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This verse has served as a great encouragement to Christians throughout every generation of the church, as it should. Jesus, our shepherd, protects us even when we go through trials and tribulations. I don't know what many of you are going through this morning. I don't know the specific difficulties that you might be facing. Some of you are like, yeah, I was in the valley a couple years ago and it was really hard. And some of you may be today, right there. As I was preparing for this sermon this week, I was mindful that it's Father's Day. And we're soon approaching the one-year anniversary of Jude McCullough's death. And I want you to know that our congregation has prayed for your congregation a lot over the last year. We've prayed for your pastor and his wife, and Jude's three sweet sisters. They're a strong family, but they're in the valley right now. This congregation, in that particular instance, is in the valley of the shadow of death. And it is in those moments that we must cling to the entirety of this verse. Verse 4. For you are with me. The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And it's important for us to notice that David does not deny that suffering is real. He doesn't try to sweep it under the rug like a lot of good Southerners do. A lot of times we try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and just pretend that we're not going through anything difficult. Every worldview, every world religion must deal with the categories of sin and suffering in some way. And some try to pretend that it doesn't exist. That people deep down are basically good and that suffering is the result of a bad omen or bad energy. Others try to simply downplay the role of sin and suffering. David doesn't do that here in verse 4, does he? He understands that death and suffering are the result of sin being brought into God's good world. And don't miss that dual promise that we see in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's a promise there that hard times will come. Well, that stinks. Then we have the promise, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Emmanuel, God with us. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Because verse 4 is true, we can pray with the psalmist, Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Another psalm that says, we will be afraid. When, not if, but when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Evil does exist, but is not to be feared because of the reality that God is with us, the Prince of Peace. The Good Shepherd holds us in the palm of his hand. Why is it that we are to fear no evil? Well, look at the end of verse 4. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is what shepherds like King David use for guidance and defense to protect the sheep from the lion, from the bear, from the attacks from the outside world. This is what we see King David doing in 1 Samuel 17, defending and protecting his sheep with his rod. The staff, in contrast, was used for support and encouragement. It was often placed under the body of the sheep to keep them from slipping in the mud or uneven places, sometimes carrying the sheep. What a great encouragement for us that the good shepherd, who has both a rod and a staff, is here to defend, to protect, to comfort, to keep us from stumbling. And many times, in order to remind us of these promises, that means that we need to look back, to remember the ways that God has been faithful to protect us, to remember the ways that God has provided for New Covenant Presbyterian Church and Summit, how He has cared for your pastor and his family over the last year. It's been a hard year, but He's cared for them as only a good shepherd can. And we need to ask the question, this is a self-examination question, are we sheep who follow, obey, and trust the Good Shepherd? Several years ago, I went to Carowinds Amusement Park. It's in the Carolinas. It's literally on the border of North and South Carolina, so you can stand on both states at one time, if you so desire. My mother is a native-born South Carolinian, and she loves roller coasters. So my siblings and I decided, the ones that were in the Carolinas, decided we were going to take my mother to Carowinds for her birthday. So my dad and I, with one of my brothers and my sister-in-law, went to Carowinds. This was before I was married. An important part of the story is my dad and I do not like roller coasters at all. So we went to the water park and had a great time. But as my dad and I were standing in line at this water park ride, there was this little girl in line with her father. And she couldn't have been but 3 or 4 years old. She was very little. And you're climbing up the stairs. So it's like the roller coasters for pansies, like my dad and I. And so we were in line, and I was very impressed with this little girl because she had zero fear. And her dad sits down in the tube, and she just plops right in his lap, and zoom, away they go. This little girl had no fear because she knew and had confidence that her father was holding her tightly. When we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we must have this same kind of confidence in our heavenly Father that this little girl had in her earthly father, to cling to with confidence the protection that can only be found in Christ. As sheep of the Good Shepherd, we should long for the presence of our Shepherd, even in the valley, even in those dark days, what St. John of the Cross called when you're experiencing the dark night of the soul. And here's the amazing thing. You are in a safer place if you are in the valley of the shadow of death with Christ there with you, than if you are in the green pasture and Christ is absent from your life. We should long always for the presence of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, no matter life's circumstances. This leads us to our third and our final point. I'm not normally an alliteration guy, but it just providentially worked out that way. We see in our third point that He cares for His sheep as He fulfills His promises. As He fulfills His promises. We see this in verse 5 and 6. Would you look back at those verses with me again? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here we find the imagery of a dinner table. As children of the Master, we are brought to the table, and we quickly realize that we are not just invited strangers. We are honored guests. We are the VIP children of God. That's the imagery that we get when we are anointed with oil. The Lord is inviting us to dine with Him. It's a picture, but just a picture, of the great wedding supper of the Lamb. The overflowing cup symbolizes the gracious invitation of the host at the meal. That God cares for His children, and it is going to be a glorious, abundant meal, and you shall not be lacking. The promises which He has made with His covenant people, He is faithful to fulfill. The promises which Paul describes in the New Testament as yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the shepherd in Psalm 23. I believe that's the reason that Psalm 23 is so near and dear to our hearts. Because Jesus is the good shepherd who we read about in John 10 when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In Psalm 23, we find gospel promises that Jesus Christ Himself, as the great Savior of sinners, willingly went to the cross. John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He died in our place in order that goodness and mercy, which interestingly, that word mercy can be translated as covenant faithfulness or covenant loyalty. That God's covenant promises might follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Or to put it another way, God will never divorce His covenant people. When He made those wedding promises to His people, those promises, I will be your God, you will be my people. Those promises that He will be the Savior did not come with a prenuptial agreement. They didn't come with, but if you don't keep your vows, this is how we're going to divvy everything up. There is no possibility of God divorcing His people. He will see His covenant promises that are yes and amen in Jesus Christ to the end in glory. I love how Psalm 23 ends. There's a confidence. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's gonna happen. So what does that have to do with us today? That there's a future hope, a future glory, a future encouragement. But how does that encourage us today in the midst of the trials and the suffering that we face today? Well, the next time you're feeling like a skittish sheep, spend some time reflecting on God's promises. That would be quite an undertaking to start from Genesis and go through Revelation and look for every promise that God makes to His covenant people. It would be well worth attempting. Here are just a few that I found that I thought would be encouragements for us as we close. Psalm 37, verse 23. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. A familiar one for us, Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Deuteronomy 31:8, also referenced in the book of Hebrews, when Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Or Psalm 9:9, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is our provision, he is our protection, and he fulfills his promises. Cling to the hope of Christ and the hope that we find in Psalm 23 as Jesus is our good shepherd. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the promises of Scripture that are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for this congregation. I pray for the McCulloughs. As this entire church family continues to grieve the unexpected death of Jude, as Brian celebrates his first Father's Day without his son, would you bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted and save the crushed in spirit this day with the promises of the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep? Oh Lord, would we glory in the gospel today? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.